Netflix had a great Q1 2020, spurred on by COVID-19 shelter-in-place viewing. What is the secret to its success, and can it keep the magic coming in Q2 and beyond? Let's get started.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon is with me from End Screen Media. Hey, Colin, how's everything out there? How's your sheltering in place going?
Well, we're still in place, and I don't think we'll hear anything, at least for another week, as to what's going to happen beyond that. Luckily here, at least in the Bay Area, the weather has turned and spring has sprung, and it is just a gorgeous day. So at least I can go stand out in my garden and see some sun and some blue sky. How about you?
Likewise. Yeah, spring definitely has sprung here in the Boston area. And I'm starting to see or read about some positive or at least improving signs on the virus front. So I'm taking that as positive news. Actually, I just announced earlier today, we're recording on Thursday, that we have moved the date of our Connected TV Advertising Summit, which was intended to be June 11th. We've moved it to Tuesday, September 22nd. So I'm really keeping my fingers crossed that better days are ahead. That's 5 months from now, and hoping that by then we will have a return to some semi-normalcy.
Me too. And I will, of course, be there, Will. Looking forward to being in New York. Boy, it's been through some tough times, and hopefully they're doing a lot better by the time we get there. But talking of tough times and our streaming business, well, boy, I think Netflix seems to be the go-to service for people as they shelter in place, right? They reported their Q1 numbers, which includes March, which is all important because that's when many of us went into lockdown and started staying at home. And that had a pretty galvanizing effect on the numbers, didn't it?
Absolutely. We're going to talk about Netflix's Q1 here on the podcast today, and let's just get started at the high level and then dig into more of what happened and, I think, importantly, what we see happening as we go into Q2 and even beyond that, because Netflix has really become a juggernaut now. They're up to 183 million global subscribers. They added almost 15.8 million net subscribers globally in Q1 2020. That was actually more than twice as big as the 7 million that they had forecast just 3 months ago for Q1. And talk about March just completely changing the trajectory of the company. They said they were basically pacing on forecast for the first couple of months. And then March came, and basically, their explanation was that membership growth has temporarily accelerated due to the home confinement, and many more households joined Netflix to enjoy entertainment. So they clearly experienced that huge surge just in the U.S. alone. The forecast that they had issued, the 7 million global forecast, I thought suggested that they were right on the border of possibly a break even in terms of subscriber additions in the US and Canada in Q1. They had a chance possibly of gaining a little bit, losing a little bit. A year ago, they had gained about 1.9 million subscribers in the US. This time they gained 2.31 million subscribers in the US. That was their best first quarter in a while. So they were on a trajectory where it looked a lot like, here in the U.S. at least, that they were starting to hit saturation, that the churn rate was probably moving up a little bit, that gross additions were moving down. And then March came and everything just got completely turned upside down. So Netflix is clearly the beneficiary of all the shelter-at-home guidelines in Q1. And we'll talk about Q2 in a second here, as I said, but it looks like the shelter at home is going to continue giving them a boost into Q2 as well. So let's just focus on Q1 for a second, Colin. What were your reactions?
Yeah, like you, very impressed. And I think, you know, when I broke down the UCAN, the US and Canada numbers a little bit, Netflix didn't give us US numbers separate this time. They have done in the past, but they just switched their reporting to a regional view, which gives them just the US and Canada together. But I was able to sort of go back and deconstruct those numbers a little bit. And what it looks to me is that the gains were about, were mostly in the US. And I think it was about 2 million gains in the US, and the rest came from Canada. So that 2 million, Will, was a pretty significant number because it carried Netflix past half of homes. It's now in half of homes in the US. There are 124 million occupied homes. And that gain of 2 million really sets them at about 51%. That is an amazing achievement. I think when we were talking about Netflix when they first started streaming, there was a lot of talk inside the company about what the limit was to their achievement, you know, to their penetration. And I think a lot of people sort of used HBO as a yardstick, which was, I think, sitting at about 30% at the time, 33%, something like that, and didn't think that Netflix would be able to get much beyond that. And what they've proved is that they certainly can. And now they're at 50%. I guess that opens the question exactly how far they can go, because what they have done is they've really evolved their service into a sort of general entertainment service that if you particularly if you haven't got paid television, it's kind of mandatory that you have Netflix because it has such a broad swath of content. And I think the thing that really came home to me in Q1, Will, from these numbers, was just how effective their content creation strategy has become. And to give a little context to this, Hub Entertainment Research released some data last month, and they said that nearly a quarter of US adults say that Netflix has the best originals, and 39% say that Netflix is their choice if they were forced to limit the number of services that they had. Netflix would be the one that they hang on to, which was number one, well ahead of CBS, which was 28%. So what that data told me was that Netflix has really established a reputation as being a place to come for new original content, and that is a big draw. And I think that image, plus the fact that Netflix has done an extremely effective job at continuing to deliver new content into the service, are really the keys to why the company has been so successful as we sit locked in our homes. They have been able to continue to deliver on new content even while others are struggling. So, you know, if we put this in context, Will, pretty much everything live on television has gone away. All of the late night and all of the chat shows, none of those can really function in the same way that they were before. Of course, some of them are retooling and doing stuff from home that seems to be drawing an interested audience. But it was a double whammy for live TV because they lost live sports as well. And when consumers really wanted to watch something new, then they had to go online, and here they come with Netflix, and they find The Tiger King and Spencer Confidential and a whole bunch of other stuff. And there's new stuff coming in each week. So that really hammered home to me just how well the company has done in establishing a brand image that means originals and new content to consumers. So that I think is the seeds of the success for Netflix in what should be a very mature market. But in this situation, boy, it certainly seems to be a still strongly growing one.
Yeah, I think all of that is right, Colin. And the backdrop here also, of course, as you mentioned, is with no live sports available, there are tens of millions of sports fans that have been basically forced to find something else to watch, something else to spend their time on. And we've seen in a lot of the research that's come out over the past month that both entertainment and news consumption has surged. And, you know, there may be even a little bit of an argument that news is going to fall off a little bit as we go forward and people start to get fatigued from watching news about the coronavirus. It's pretty hard stuff to watch. And I think people are going to be likely looking for more escape and just, you know, distraction from the day to day as things slog on here. So Netflix has been well positioned, as you said. They have a very broad catalog, a very deep catalog. They've been continuing to release new content, I've noticed, as well as they said on the earnings call this week. So that has all, I think, been very much to their benefit, and that flowed through into the Q1 numbers. You know, I will say also that I think that what they probably experienced in Q1 was a lower churn rate because, again, as people who maybe had Netflix subscriptions that were in the past maybe on the bubble for churning out now started using them more than they did in the past. And of course, with increased usage comes lower churn rates. So I think they benefited from that in the quarter as well as the higher level of gross additions, which I think you were pointing out, you know, comes from the well-known brand, the content depth, et cetera, et cetera. So all of that, I think, worked very well for them in Q1. And why don't we go ahead and look toward Q2 now and to the rest of the year, because, you know, we're clearly still sheltering at home and people are still hungry for sports, but there's no sports on. So that viewership is being substituted. So actually Netflix offered a very optimistic forecast for Q2 as well of 7.5 million global subscriber additions. That was almost triple what they did in Q2 19, which was 2.7 million. And also of note was that in that Q2 19 period was that first ever loss in subscribers in the US, that 130,000 loss. So they didn't break out what they're expecting in the U.S., but in Canada, but guessing that they're already pacing ahead of where they were last year and probably on track for a gain. So Q2 continues. I think Q2 looks pretty strong for Netflix. More questions in terms of Q3 and Q4. Management was pretty candid in saying that they feel like there's some type of a pull forward going on in terms of people subscribing now instead of possibly subscribing later. And they also expect that as the shelter at home guidelines are lifted, that they expect that viewing and growth is going to decline. But I think that's more of a second half of the year issue. Q2 continues to look pretty strong. What do you think?
I think I agree with you, Will. And I just want to make a quick note about what you said about reduced churn, because I think that will stay the same in Q2. And I'll get to just why in just a second. I noted Nielsen's showed some numbers for the period February 24th to the 30th, March 30th. And that what they said was that they saw a 50% increase in time spent with SVOD services. And what was remarkable there was that Netflix was the biggest beneficiary in that. It actually grew its share of streamed minutes to connected TVs from 31% on the week of February 24th to 33% in March 30th. And remember, that's on top of a 50% overall increase in time of actually streamed. So there's, I think, strong evidence for what you were saying, which is about the reduced churn. I think they are in great shape to repeat that sort of performance in Q2 and beyond if they have to. I was listening to the call, the earnings call, which took place on Tuesday, And one of the analyst asked Ted Sarandos if Netflix was planning on slowing down the delivery of new content into the service. And his justification for that, of course, is a good one. You know, you need to make, if you've got new content, you perhaps need to slow the pace of delivery into the service because you want to stretch it out as long as possible. However, Ted Sarandos, he was really interesting. I want to read exactly what he said. He said, "We work really far out relative to the industry because we launch our shows all episodes at once. And we are working far out all over the world. So our 2020 slate of series and films are largely shot, I mean, in post-production, remotely in locations all over the world. And we are pretty deep into our 2021 slate. So we don't anticipate moving things around." Now, there's a lot in that. There's a lot to unpack in that. But I think the top line here is that because Netflix drops shows all at once, for which, by the way, they have been criticized a lot in the industry because people think that they should meet them out week by week. But because they have chosen to do that, it forces the company to work far farther out in content delivery and creation and production than a TV channel does, because the TV channel relies on the fact that it's meeting things out on a month to month, but on a week to week basis, and that allows them to continue production even while the episodes are being watched on television. So Netflix is in a great position now because they already had in the can most of what they were going to release in 2020. So they're really, really well positioned because of that. And you know, the corollary of that, Will, of course, is that now regular broadcast television is starting to run out of episodes, and they have no prospect just as yet of when they can restart doing that. So at least from the point of view of competition from television providers, well, I think the competition is going to be dropping off for Netflix, and they will continue to have new content when others do not. And I actually wonder what that means for online competitors like Disney Plus and CBS All Access, because both of those companies have chosen to use release models more like traditional television. That is, they're releasing them on a week-to-week basis. So that could mean that they're following old production policies whereby they're still producing the content while the content is actually being delivered, while earlier episodes are still being delivered. So I think I've aired this concern before, Will. I think Disney Plus and CBS All Access, I think they're really in trouble in Q3 and Q4 because they simply don't have any more content in the hopper, as it were, to deliver new content into their services. So all of that tells me that I think Netflix is incredibly well positioned from the standpoint of having new original content to offer to consumers for the rest of the year, where the rest of the television industry is going to really struggle. So I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're explaining makes perfect sense. It's less clear to me is what the exact positions are, the production positions are for each of the different networks you've highlighted, Disney Plus and CBS All Access. You know, I don't know specifically about either of them, excuse me, but there's no question that the broader issue about productions having been shut down, and if you were ahead of things to some extent, as you're describing Netflix was, you're going to be in a better position. I think that absolutely holds true. I think there's one other dynamic that's at play here also, Colin, which is that, you know, we've seen, there's been a lot of research about how viewers are migrating more toward comfort food is the quote that's often given, the reruns, the reliable favorites. And I think there's a case to be made, actually, that services that have deep libraries of well-loved content will actually ride out the latter half of the year in decent shape. You know, this is one of the reasons why I think Peacock is actually in a pretty good position when they come in, even though they have conceded that they're not going to have any new original programming either. I think services that have libraries are going to be okay. Netflix comes at things from a different angle. They, as you say, have lots of new programming still coming in, but they also happen to have deep libraries, which is to their benefit. So it's a little bit uncertain to me sort of which services benefit and which ones get hurt the most, because again, there's so much up for grabs right now in viewer preferences.
Yeah, I agree, Will. And this actually makes me think of something of the effect that you were talking about when you were saying spinning, when you were talking about spinning, where people can turn on a service, watch it for a bit and turn off. Well, with services like Disney Plus and with Peacock, that's exactly what they can do. So when they're watching TV a lot and they want that comfort food, they can turn it on and they can watch it. When they're not, when finally we can leave our homes and get out and about, and they're not watching so much, they can turn it off. So I agree with you that comfort food, comfort viewing, like The Office and Friends, etc., these are great things to have in situations like this. But they're also things that you can just turn off in the certain knowledge that that service is still going to be around later. You can turn them off when you're not watching quite so much. But you know, we always want a steady diet of new content, and Netflix is king in that department. That's very, very clear. You know, it's an expensive business and they're spending a bunch of money, and it turns out that they're going back to the markets to get $1 billion more in debt, which they'll probably turn around and spend on more content. But it seems to be paying dividends. They're seeing strong growth. They're even seeing strong growth in Europe and outside of the US in normal times as well. So I guess that's the nature of their business right now. They're building out this huge library, and investing in new content is the way that the engine that keeps growth going.
Yeah, shelter at home has definitely been a huge disruptor in a positive way for Netflix. No question about that. Q2 looks like it's going to continue to be that way. And as we're talking Q3, Q4, they could very well be in an advantage position there as well. But I think that may be all we have time for this week, Colin. Certainly fascinating to see how the virus is kind of playing out throughout our industry. Just completely changing the trajectory of different companies that are involved.
I agree. I think we will look back at this time as a pivot point. Will, I think looking at, you know, it just took a peek at AT&T numbers, and oh boy, it looks like pay TV is still losing big time at AT&T, and I suspect that that's the case in many other areas like cable and telco TV too. So, but that's maybe a topic for another day.
Yeah, why don't we save that for another day? So, Colin, stay well. And to all of our listeners, please stay well and healthy. And we thank you for listening in again on this week's edition of the Video News Endscreen Media Podcast. And we'll see you all again next week.